Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Cosey, and I'm joined always by Wani B. And we're joined in studio today by a friend of the show. What's up, brother? Jimothy.
Howdy.
Jimothy Chan. That's your last name.
No, that's racist.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Jim, what's your...
It is Chan.
What's your official Chinese name? Can you pronounce it first?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's Dai Si Jun, with Dai being the surname, similar to Tai. Si, and meaning world, and Jun meaning army.
I always found that fascinating. Do you mind if we walk through a little bit some of the idea behind why Chinese folks, when they came here, changed their names? Feels kind of like Jim, Jimmy, that kind of Connie.
Debbie, I see too. Yeah.
I think that just comes from just easy pronunciation, right? I mean, like, even immigrated here, they just legally gave my name to be Si Jun, became Shi Chen. And then even my parents were like, Si Jun, that kind of sounds like Jing, Jimmy. And even I went through most of my elementary as Jimmy. And it wasn't until the fifth grade I got lazy writing five letters in my name. I just changed it to three letters in my name, and it became Jim.
I did know a couple of Jimmys.
Jimmy Shui?
Jimmy Shui. Jimmy. There's another one. But a couple.
No, it's, but I think a lot of the names, of, especially the ones ending in E, like Connie and Jimmy, it's just easy to pronounce, right?
It's like a way to assimilate, really, right? Like assimilation to like American, like just so like teachers... can like pronounce your name. I know, like in my culture, Nigerian, like they give us like American names. Like my cousin, his name is Chris. They do it so like, you know, his teachers can like pronounce his name easier. But me, I go by Cosey, which is a nightmare to pronounce, even for you guys to pronounce. But I think it's like, again, it's a way to assimilate to the English speaking United States.
It happened with my last name too. I pronounce it kind of opposite of how it should be, just because it's easier for...
Wait, so what's the proper pronunciation of your last name?
Muiles.
Muiles, okay.
Whoa.
Just not Biles?
Yeah, try spelling that, Muiles. Listeners. We won't spell it for you, but try to spell what the hell he just said.
Cause... No, that's the funny part. With Spanish, everything is spelled exactly how it's pronounced.
Yes.
There's no mystery. It's not like English where it's a made-up Frankenstein language. Where... Okay.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, you can have multiple words. You can have literally multiple words in English that are spelled the exact same, exactly the same, and sound completely different.
Yes.
You read or read.
Read, yeah.
Yes. Right. Lead or led.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. And they mean completely different things. And they're not like participles of each other or anything.
Right.
Lead means, you know, be a leader. Yes. Lead means the stuff in your pipes.
Right.
Or at least in Flint, Michigan's
or
pipes.
Or paint. Still in their right. pipes. Jesus.
That's what I eat all the time.
Yeah. But speaking of current events and fancy stuff.
Yeah, man. What's all the
I feel
the
like
show,
we
man.
Have to discuss... Tap on the show. Obviously, we got Jimothy on here. We want to discuss some of these current
events.
Good
to see you, buddy. Hell yeah.
Because, honestly, at this point, things have been popping off and go so crazy. We're going to discuss them.
Whenever I leave, it comes back.
We're going to discuss motherfucking Luigi. What is it? Mangione?
Mario! I mean, Luigi.
Luigi.
Assassinating Brian Thompson.
The CEO killer.
Yeah.
Then we're going to discuss.
So attractive.
The Jay-Z allegations. Oh. Some more allegations.
As of today.
Wait, we're not talking about P. Diddy anymore?
No, we moved
on. They're related. They're related.
Oh,
they are simultaneous.
Believe it or not, Jimothy, yeah.
They are simultaneous. P. Diddy and Jay-Z were big friends.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew? Two successful rappers in the game.
Yeah. So, good and friends. Then after that, we're going to give the back half of our Penguin Review, episodes 5 through 8. Let you know how we think we are. Go back to finishing off what we started.
Yeah. Amazing show.
Amazing show. We definitely have some thoughts on it to feed y'all.
Yes, we do.
So, let's start off with the current events, folks.
Just want to hop into this, all right?
Y'all. I mean... We already saw multiple assassination attempts on Trump.
Two? Right? Two, yeah.
Finally, somebody succeeded.
Yes.
Popped CEO of United Healthcare, the biggest healthcare insurance provider in the world. One of the biggest companies in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they do. I think for
By market capitalization? Is that what it's
market word? Cap?
Yeah, market cap.
Yeah.
That's what it means, right? Market capitalization. Yeah. One of the biggest companies in the world. Mm-hmm. Definitely a company a lot of people have. I don't even think mixed feelings is the right word.
Well, it really brought to light what a lot of people have been feeling for years, that insurance companies really do mistreat the people that pay for their services, and people are getting fed up. And, you know, on Mooney, we're not advocating for violence or nothing, but just looking at the response, I can understand why people are like, hey, that's what happens. I get it.
The message of deny, defend, depose rings true and familiar.
Yeah, right? and just the whole timeline of the whole thing of his just working his way from San Francisco all the way over to New York to plan this whole murder. He waited. It was cold, calculated, and like he did it. Luigi did it, and then laid low and got away for like about 4 days, which was crazy. And like we were all just speculating, just like who the hell is this guy? We had like a camera photos of him looking like Jake Gyllenhaal mixed with Timothée Chalamet, and we're like, who is this handsome devil that is on the loose?
Look,
and
that's one thing I got to comment on the media. One is that we have such clear video footage of him shooting. Yeah. Like there's just him popping him in the back and casually walking away. And then on top of that, we got good clear shots of his face. He's the handsome devil.
Pay to be handsome? Like, it doesn't matter what you do. Just make sure you're pleasing, because, my goodness, he's an overnight sensation for...
Being good-looking has always been a
thing. Right? Guys.
And they had that look-alike contest both in Atlanta and in New York City.
It was a meme moment. Like, my goodness.
People are reacting very positively to this. Listen... We pay a bunch of money for health insurance. For our non-American listeners, even if you know the U.S. has expensive health care, it probably would still be shocking to you some of the things people are expected to pay for.
Oh, yeah. Right? Out of pocket.
Let me just throw one number out. I think like an ambulance ride is like $12,000.
I think that might be an exaggeration. Unless it's like some exact, like some middle of nowhere, maybe like the maximal ambulance value.
So for them to make sure you're okay... would cost you $12,000.
Yeah, no. Like for you to ride from wherever you were to get to the hospital.
Good lord!
And I think care in between.
All the care.
I think that might be high, but it's still in the thousands.
Yes.
Right. I think if you ask most people, my wife is a doctor. I think if you ask most people in most countries,
let me clarify my statement. That's what the insurance. That's what the insurance company would probably be asked for. How much they would actually pay out? How much they actually money is exchanged? It's always played down, right? You always ask for more than the actual insurance company can pay for.
Okay, that's not like how much you, the person, would be paying. No. Okay, but thanks for clarifying
that. Part of why insurance is so hated as well, right? Because there's always these high fluctuating numbers going up and down, and it's almost arbitrary in healthcare.
Yeah, I know a couple of years back, like my girlfriend, she had a procedure, and she was with United Healthcare just a couple of years ago, and she had a procedure and they... You know, she pays for them. She's a paying person under their care, and they denied her, you know, part of the just to get treatment for procedures. Not even procedure, but just so she can feel better afterwards. And I was like, geez, I always wait. So you're paying money to just not get what you paid for? And she was like, yeah, it was kind of messed up.
You pay premiums, and you have to pay pretty damn large deductibles, ever increasing deductibles.
Yes.
And then you find out, you know, what your doctor is saying that you need. Supposedly, you don't really need.
No.
According to some insurance company, whose main goal is to just make money.
Absolutely. Off
of. Which is crazy to me because, you know, I guess maybe it sounds naive, but something like healthcare, like making sure you're good, should be something that's free or at least affordable. Well,
affordable
at the very least. Like nothing's free.
Look, there's a reason why pretty much every country. Even
third world countries,
they have long ago realized that medicine does not work in a free market.
Kind of important.
The clearest example, like the point of a free market, the point of capitalism is giving people the freedom of choice.
To choose what they want to spend their money on.
You, listener, are choosing to listen to this podcast. Versus another podcast, you're choosing to listen to it on Spotify versus Apple Music.
Thank you for that.
Or whichever else. You're choosing to listen to a podcast instead of Netflix. Every day you make choices. And for situations like this, low-stakes stuff, that's the best way to handle it. The government should not be coming in and telling you, hey, no, you got to go listen to It Was Mooney, or you got to listen to Joe Rogan, or you got to listen to Tucker Carlson. No, you should be able to make that choice by yourself.
Right.
What makes the most sense for you? That's where capitalism shines, giving you that choice and promoting the people who people want to listen to, people want to give money to, mm-hmm. instead of the people who people are forced to give money to.
So you feel as though people are being forced in this case by these insurance companies?
Well, okay, take it like the same example. Okay, so with a podcast, it's very easy. Oh, what do I want to listen to? Or not listen to at all. It's a very low stake choice, right? Right? You're just choosing your you're just choosing your entertainment. Mm-hmm. Even with some medical decisions, you're getting hair surgery, you're getting some plastic surgery, cosmetic surgeries. Some Botox, you know. You have plenty of time to do shopping around, look for good prices, compare quality, right. see reviews, get word of mouth,
make an informed decision about this.
Say. Yeah. You're, you know, working at home, you're doing some woodwork or with a saw, and you mess up, boom, the saw saws off your finger.
Bam.
Are you going to be sitting there, oh, I'm going to look up different hospitals near me, look at their reviews,
yeah, of course
get a
not.
Quote yeah. for finger reattachment?
There's no time.
Or are you going to rush to the closest one?
Yeah, yes. There's no time.
That's what it's for.
All right, you just rush to the closest one. Time is of the essence. The faster you can get there, the better. Mm. Right? Do you then want to hear, oh, you weren't in network, or you didn't quite go to the procedures necessary for us to reimburse your insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just trying to get care.
Yeah.
You're not thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking rationally. There's no free market at play here.
No.
It's essentially somebody's holding a gun to your head and saying, hey, unless you pay us this money, your finger does not get reattached.
Yeah.
Even if you don't die, you will have permanent damage. You will experience excruciating pain. You will never be the same.
Well, it's interesting you put it like that. I don't feel like anybody's putting a gun to their head. And it's interesting that America healthcare works in the fact that, look, if you go to a hospital, you show up to that ER, they will mend that finger. And then they will give you the bill. And if you have insurance, generally the bill will be a little smaller. And if you don't, then it'll go into a collections agency and you still try to pay a part of it. And you know what the crazy truth about American healthcare is? If you don't pay any of it, you could probably still walk away not going to jail.
Interesting. I thought it was like student loans where that stuff never goes away from, like, it specifically medical bills.
Yeah, but they're never going to throw you in the can.
And you won't go to jail over
medical. There's no such thing as debt of prison. But they can garnish your check. They can do different stuff.
So, like, how come the idea of, like, universal health care, how come that's not, that's been floating around but it's been seen as, like,
crazy? I mean, we have
crazy,
that with
like,
Obamacare, right? The Affordable Care Act.
Sort of. Now, the reason most people have a little bit of private stuff in there. Mm-hmm. The reason most people, for the most part, basically mandate healthcare and have some form of universal healthcare. They have different forms of it. It's not all the same.
Yes.
But they have some form of it. It's basically what I'm describing. Most countries have realized, hey, doesn't work when you're trying to have doctors make a profit. It doesn't work when you're trying to make middlemen make a profit on top of that.
Yes.
There are some benefits people claim that the U.S., because of its high prices, has more money for research.
Right, and we have better and more advanced care.
And we have more advanced care, particularly for high-level, you know, intense stuff.
Actually, very niche stuff, nuanced diseases.
But like the general stuff, like a checkup, like, because universal would cover that, right?
And all this other stuff are so difficult to acquire, and because people basically are afraid to go to the hospital, what ends up happening is that something that could have been caught earlier on and been treated
becomes
reasonably
a huge issue,
easily early on gets, you know, instead of going, oh, I have this pain in my stomach, but oh man, my deductible is too high. Even they're already paying premium. Even people who have insurance, right?
Still,
they
still forego the hospital.
Screw it. I'm just gonna man up and just go through it. And then they finally go through when they, you know, finally, you know, start bleeding or the pain gets too intense. Sometimes they start going to the hospital. They do go to the doctor, and you know the doctor, you know, tells them the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I mean that's everywhere.
That's a different way.
That's everywhere. There's no perfect doctors anywhere.
Well, let me ask you directly for Colombia, is there national healthcare there?
Basically, I mean the idea that somebody wouldn't get treated because, you know, they don't have insurance.
Can you go back for surgery there?
Basically.
Yeah, same with Taiwan.
So I guess over here in America, then it's, since it's for profit over here, unfortunately, it kind of seeds these, you hear these stories about, hey, my nana couldn't get, she couldn't get anesthesia after surgery because they denied her. And a company like United Health, who's like known for denying a lot of people, I saw this chart where it shows like the denial rate for United Health was pretty high. It seeds these feelings of resentment of like, you failed me, and people are fed up, and like the guy, the CEO that got killed, like he benefits, you know, from the suffering of others, and like he's so far away from these stories of you Juan talking to me about your experience in Jiu-Jitsu. He's far away from this, but like he benefits from this. So like you see people say like freaking Ben Shapiro saying, like wagging his finger at us saying, how dare you liberals celebrate trying to make this like a making the whole partisan issue.
Tell, the guy was a real liberal by any sense of the.
But no, and then he's working. It's a working class issue.
Ben Shapiro's comment section tore him apart too. It's not like left versus right. It's a rich versus poor thing.
And it's really weird. They're trying to make sure we don't see it, but it's so obvious as to what's happening. But like. You can see their messaging saying, hey, quickly, wait, let them, like, let's do this ball game.
Go back to getting mad about trans issues.
Like, oh no, did they just come together for a weekend? Oh yeah, no.
Go back to getting mad about, you know, if, you know, enough black people are in the Oscars.
Yeah,
it's been crazy. Like, the world has not been this, or the United States, rather, has not been this unified over death.
Yeah.
Since some time. And, like, a positive unification. And the crazy thing is, we didn't know who Brian Thompson was before he died. Nope. United Healthcare CEO. If anybody asked, hey, do you know United Healthcare? Yes. Do you know CEO? No. No one knows Brian Thompson.
But we know Luigi, bro.
Yeah, but now that he died, it's Luigi, like, bro. Oh,
we know Luigi, man. We know Luigi. Like, it's just crazy how, like, again, it's a lot of things. Like, how we kind of, like how we put these handsome criminals on a pedestal, like the whole healthcare thing, how rich people are trying to like make sure that we don't understand how like they're benefiting a lot from like the system. A lot of things are coming together in this and like highlighting a lot of like issues, and it's been really, really fascinating to see just everyone's take on this.
I do want to say, I get on some level where, okay, the people throwing water on this and, you know, saying that, hey, this is just a murderer. You shouldn't make him a hero. Because, okay, you know, we're doing this now and we're, for the most part, in agreement. Oh, hey, you know, health insurance, the way it's handled, sucks.
Needs to be fixed,
It needs to be fixed. These people taking profit off just basic care and becoming rich off denying us care sucks. Becoming rich off making healthcare basically inaccessible to most people sucked. Even, again, I have insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, you end up feeling like, oh, I want to go to the doctor as least as possible. Because even though you're already paying premium, there's a whole bunch of other fees you didn't have to pay. Co-ops and deductibles and other stuff. You know, it's not just, or like, oh, you're going to go to the emergency room? Mm-hmm. Whoops, here's $400 just to come inside.
No,
they're not even necessarily going to fix you. Just to come inside and see.
It's an arm and a leg,
man. The healthcare system is broken. And you know what's crazy is, like, the moment people start talking about the assassination is there's justification. Oh, the CEO actually wrote up an AI program to deny people from their coverage and go through and make sure even more people were denied. And it's as if, like, this assassination is like, okay, it's okay if this guy died. Which is not really great in the glorification of it.
You know,
it's not. It's not at all.
Honestly,
I understand, though.
Me, it's less that. You know what? I'm gonna take a bold stance here, and I don't necessarily know that it's bad that some people like this have to fear for their lives.
Mm. Right? Do you think that other insurance company CEOs should be more afraid for their lives now?
I don't think they're even afraid. They're just going to boost their security. They're
probably a big shock to them. They probably knew this guy personally.
No, okay. Right? You know
it's
what?
Not a big club.
You know what? You're right. I think they're definitely shocked, but I don't think in the grand scheme of things, nothing's going to change. What's going to change is security for them.
We'll see. I don't want to predict.
It's funny you put it that way. I think the successor CEO specifically said that they're going to continue the legacy of coverage that Brian Thompson had.
Business as usual, dude.
Okay, even if you want to concede, I don't necessarily think you should, but I can see the appeal of conceding. Like, no, you know, this guy sucked. Luigi's a hero.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this guy's a huge piece of shit. We just are here. Okay. The takeaway other people are going to get. Mm-hmm. Oh, if I kill someone who is bad, not, you know, according to some codified rules of, okay, here's the list of bad guys who we have to kill that everybody agrees on. Most people could agree with this one, frankly, is the crazy thing.
Yeah, one of those.
No, I don't know. See, the thing is, after looking into it myself, I mean, he was only CEO since 2021.
It's a symbol. It's a symbol, right?
Yeah, so like, I feel like, yes, as a symbol, correct. But as a person, no.
Okay, I mean, what do you want to say? Like, you can't kill them all at once, right? Well, I'm sure. If it was possible for him to do so, he would have done that.
But I feel like, just let me make the distinction, like raising the symbol, R-A-Z-E, raising the symbol,
taking it down, yeah,
yeah, is fine. But him as a person, he didn't deserve it.
You know what? I don't even.
I get that take, Jim. I get it, but I also understand why folks are not sympathetic.
I'm not necessarily sure if I will concede that point entirely. Because hey, he's still, even if it's only a few years, even if it's not all his fault, mm-hmm. you know, he's still sitting there happily profiting it off of
this. Most definitely.
It's not like somebody like put a gun to his head and forced him to take that job. It's oh man, okay, I guess I'll take CEO.
Yeah.
Oh man, I have nothing else I can do with my life. No, nobody's forcing him to be sitting there making these decisions.
That's fair.
And it's not
that's
like he took the job yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Again, even if it's yesterday, he still took the job, right? Mm-hmm. You still know what you're getting into. And it's not like they were picking him to be like, oh, let's be really compassionate to our, you know, patients or our customers, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what he was getting bonuses for.
Yes.
For, you know, improving care for the customers.
Right.
No.
But okay, the takeaway other people are going to take from this.
Mm-hmm.
Is, oh, okay, so if I kill a bad guy, quote unquote.
Whatever that means.
What I think is a bad guy. Yes. What I think lots of other people think are a bad guy.
Yes.
I'll be a celebrated hero. Right? How many people think Joe Biden is some crazy pedophile, terrorist, communist, whatever? Right?
So you think this is going to, this sets a bad precedent, basically.
Political assassination. I think this should be set apart from political assassination.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going sets a precedent. The people who are ruining, the evil, greedy people who are ruining society from the top need to be killed.
Yeah.
You know, again, do we have an agreement on who those are?
But one, I think the reason why this was different.
Like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk be on that list? Yeah.
Probably for quite a few people, quite frankly.
But with this guy, I think the reason why it was so united, because healthcare is universal, as you put it. We all need it.
Is it universal? But
right? No, but the issues. But the issues that it touches, though, are universal. Everybody, no matter what political leaning you are, mm-hmm. it affects them all. It's one of those where it's like, no, that's one thing where like people could agree on, mm-hmm. unlike, you know, the rich billionaire, and there's like a couple of those out there, but, you know.
Yeah, all right, to wrap it up, I don't think we should condone murder, but I feel like a few deaths are necessary for the progress of civilization and our civics.
I think also if you're handsome, you can get away with damn near anything, because if this guy looked like, not like Ryan Reynolds, or Dave Franco in a hoodie, I think it will be a different story.
I think we're entering an era where famous rich people who are kind of been assholes and thought they could get away with
are getting there.
Need to start paying much closer attention to how much that extra zero on their bank account are really worth it.
How much?
There's always a price. At some point, people get upset. Mm-hmm. This is not the first. Okay, Trump very nearly got killed.
Yes.
It was not particularly far off.
There's a time, right? Yes. Yeah.
There's another world where the guy has slightly better aim, and Trump is not only president, but freaking dead.
Yeah.
Yes. So, all right, so Trump was probably at Epstein's parties.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that.
No, but was Jay-Z at Epstein's
parties? Speaking of which,
Jay-Z,
Hove in the building.
Was he at Epstein's parties?
Rock Nation, well, allegedly. Jim, we're going to put the allegedly
that
on
the off his shoulders.
Hey, man, he got 99 problems, and
bitches are a lot of them.
Younger ones are a lot of them, apparently. Well, but yeah,
I'm not young anymore.
R. Kelly, what?
Yeah, so basically, Jay-Z has been, you know, has been caught up in an allegation related to, you know, the whole Diddy saga. Diddy, as you all know, has been, you know, charged with everything in the book. They threw the entire book at Diddy. Looped it up into Baby Yoda and threw it at him. But now Jay-Z is now involved with this. Now Jay-Z is getting all slippery with his camel looking face. So
what do you guys think of this? What was the allegations against Jay-Z?
So it's all allegedly. But allegedly, there's a woman who's now, she's of age now, but back in the day when she was 13, they said that she said that, you know, Combs and Jay-Z, Shuggity Combs and Jay-Z abused her at an award show, at an award show after party. And Houston's very own Tony Busby. Busby's been, you know, on fire in the recent years, just, you know, handing out all kinds of stuff to people. But he's claiming that, he's part of the group spearheading this allegations against Jay-Z. And Jay-Z, you know, has come out and, you know, denied it all. But it's crazy that, like, he said that he's being extorted, but a lot of people are, this is just internet speculation, because everything right now is just speculation. A lot of things are saying, like, everybody, when that Diddy stuff came out, people got letters saying, hey, man, we know you were here. What you want to do about this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, folks paid up. Jay-Z was one of those people, which is hilarious, because Jay-Z is richer than freaking God. But he's one of those people who's like, no, I don't want to pay up. So they're saying this is why this is coming out. Whether or not that's true, we'll find out. But it does, you know, kind of, where there's smoke, there's fire. Kind of makes sense in that.
I don't know. I'm at the point, there's a lot of stuff around that. Oh, that's just conspiracies and stuff.
It's all legend right now.
We didn't even talk about, like, the Luigi conspiracies about how they caught the wrong guy.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He I don't want to get into those.
No, I feel like there's overwhelming evidence.
Yeah, I'm at that point where, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got him.
Yeah, we can talk about whether he wanted to get caught or not.
Right.
Anyways.
We could dive. That's a whole thing.
Yeah, we probably won't know until he says something. Yeah.
Right.
But with this Jay-Z stuff, like, there's been rumblings. Big guy making noise for a long time. I want to give a shout out to, because he was becoming my idol.
He was
motherfucking 50 Cent,
bro. They tried to kill him. They tried to kill him in the day, but he just kept coming back.
And then Diddy decided that with this life, extra life God had given him, he was going to become a professional hater.
And
he's
so good at hating. He's so good at hating.
The best. And he picks his targets well, man.
Bro, what did he say? Like, hey, why is Jay-Z at the trying to get his Super Bowl deal taken away or whatever with this? Like, tweeted that out. Yeah, no. The halftime show is Kendrick, but I think Jay-Z has, like, a deal with the Super Bowl, and, like, 50 Cent just brought that up. Like, hey, he's in some hot water. Super Bowl, y'all seeing this? And just masterful hatred,
masterful trolling. Got a documentary as soon as he was working on a documentary for the Diddy shit before the Diddy news dropped. That's how much of a hater he is. He was just gonna be like, no, fuck this guy, I don't give a fuck how little evidence I have, I know this bullshit's going around,
get to rolling.
And you know the worst part is, I don't even know if it's like really like, oh, I want to be an altruistic person. I think he's like, no, this motherfucker try to like take me shopping and like potentially fuck me in the ass. I'm gonna take him down. Diddy's not a good person, bro. He's just a full on hater.
No, he's a super villain. So I shout out.
He's to a super villain you root for because his main goal in life is to take down the other super villains.
Hey, yeah. But again, shout out to 50 Cent, but like, as just being a hilarious troll as he always is in any situation, from the Kendrick situation now to this. So again, it's all alleged, so we're going to see just what comes of this with Jay-Z. But yeah, that's
his initial statement was basically just accused of, oh, Tony Busby is just some two-time lawyer
who's trying to extort me. Yeah.
After the Deshaun allegations, what happened there, it's like, really?
Do you want to say that?
No, honestly, I can see how someone would be like, oh, Tony Busby happens to be involved in all this. Oh, it must be because he likes the attention. But it's like, oh, maybe women are going to Tony Busby because they know
he'll
fight for them and actually, you know, like, stick up for them, right? It's very easy to be like, oh, clearly the women are dumb emotional hoes.
Not to say that Busby's a good or bad guy, cause I don't know him personally, but his reputation is he's good at his job, and you get him if you want stuff done. So, and clearly he has evidence. So
it seems to be. Obviously, they keep accusing him of just making stuff up and, you know, just being after money and stuff. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like if you're trying to do that, you wouldn't come on the side. You go work for the rich guys instead of, you know, some broke woman.
Guys, before we even go to like the actual topic of the show, just going back to the Luigi situation, because obviously they're gonna make a Lifetime movie out of this. Who will you cast as Luigi? Obviously, Dave Franco. I thought Gyllenhaal could maybe.
Gyllenhaal's too old though.
Too old, but you know he's a great actor. He could pull it off.
20 years ago, even 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago, Gyllenhaal would have been great. Yeah, yeah. Chalamet, Dave Franco.
Okay. Ryan and Chalamet is something to get old. It's like low-key rounding into his 30s.
But Chalamet still looks youngish. He still looks youngish.
That's because he just looks like that. Yeah. Also, apparently he like knows good stuff about sports.
Yeah.
He looks like the Chalamet's kind of like theater, a dude. Kind of theater douchey kid we wouldn't get along with. But if you actually
sat down.
He turned me around a little bit after Don't Look Up. Oh, he played a great stoner bro.
He was hilarious in SNL.
Yeah.
He's cool. Yeah, I saw him on College Game
Day. I got more respect for him than I used to have. He looks like that preppy, douchey theater kid who is like, I mean, I respect your work, but I don't think we could ever get along.
I think he is that preppy, kind of sort of douchey kid, but... He's
got cool. some relatability.
He's cool with people. He's like, yeah, I'm a deuce, but we're all gonna get along.
And he got some relatability.
Yeah, I like him. So shout out to Timothy Chalamet.
If that's all it is. But
great. If they will make a movie, guys. So
yes,
talk to him.
Yeah, but okay. Topic of the day, y'all. We're gonna review the back half of Penguin season one.
Guys, this is great television. I'm so happy.
To give a quick recap, we're reviewing the back four episodes.
Yes.
Basically, the story was, first episode, we've seen Sophia's backstory. That's where we ended for the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. At this point, there's a big... The Saul's family?
Saul's kid, Taj.
The Salvatore's?
Maroni's.
The Salvatore's is the guy's name.
The Maroni family is after Oz. They realize he's been playing them. And then now they've exposed to Sophia and the Falcones that Oz is full of shit.
Yes.
And, you know, we've seen what, like, that Sophia got betrayed by the family and stuff.
Yeah.
So, really. Starting off, basically, it's... The Maronis are trying to take the mushroom, trying to take the bliss that Sophia and Penguin Oz had established, and then Oz basically says "fuck you," and I mean he goes pretty hardcore. He manages to kidnap the son, to force the Maronis to kind of deal with him, and then something that kills. Both the son and his mother.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded scene.
Sets them on fire. It's crazy.
Drenches them in oil and then sets them both on fire at the same time.
And then the sprinklers go off and ruin most of the bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like left a little bit. Yeah.
But it's one of the downsides. We'll talk about it later. But like they seem to face no consequences from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wrapped up rather quickly to go into the next.
Like it made it seem like a huge deal that most of the mushrooms had been ruined by the sprinklers, and he only had like a bucket left. Mm-hmm. And then apparently, he just found a nice place to grow them, and just immediately had a major operation going.
Time had passed is what it shows to me.
If time has passed, even if it's just a stupid 2 months later scrawl, I know that's the cheapest way to do it. But you gotta have something that shows time has passed.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
It was not clear if 2 months have passed or 2 days or 2 weeks. Yeah, yeah. It could have been 2 hours.
Right.
The consequences was immediately written off.
Yeah, they were definitely tied up in both. But I'm sorry, go on.
So, on top of that, Sophia basically murks the whole family.
Really cool Godfather-esque way, too.
Yeah. That sets off a gas leak, so they all die.
Carbon monoxide leak. She gets the daughter out and, like...
She saves the little girl because she has too much of a heart to kill her niece.
And Vidi. Vidi stays alive as well.
Yeah, Vidi stays alive, she but needs that's him. More... she needs his... Not for long, first of all.
Oh, that was... Oh, man, that was so... That was awesome.
Not for long. Basically, she just uses them to round up all the people and get some level of
support,
established face, established authority, telling people to line up.
And he vouched for her too in that
room. And then she shoots the fuck out of him.
Well, he was, which was wild. He was talking reckless even to the end.
Honestly, she kind of was. Because okay, there's one thing. So Sophia's whole game plan at this point, her whole message to the crew, after killing all the leaders and stuff, right? Because in theory, if they were loyal to them, the reaction should be, okay, you need to die.
Yeah, you just killed my leader. Let's get you.
You just killed the boss. Mm-hmm. And not just the boss, like everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you are a crazy bitch who needs to die.
Yes.
Well, right? Yeah, no, she revealed it right there. I mean, hey, guys, yeah, I killed them all. And yeah. everyone's like,
oh. At this point, they think she's the hangman.
They heard the stories.
Yeah, they don't know the whole backstory. Yeah.
Yes.
All right? They might. I mean, it's probably like...
It's a rumor.
But like, the lower end folks, the regular mob, you know, so henchmen, they weren't probably too privy in the details of the head family.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay, basically our whole message at this point, after murking this whole thing and like... You're trying to get them to follow her. Not just not kill her, but follow her.
And take orders from her. Yeah.
Is, okay, we're going to switch family names. Mm-hmm. We're now Gigantes.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is because VT was a made man, so he belonged to a family. So once they killed him, technically they should have come back for vengeance against Sophia. But then...
You know, that's one thing that's dropped. It's very clearly implied that there is an Italian... There's people in Italy tied to this mob... The brother, Falcone's brother.
Yeah, the one that got killed earlier.
Okay, he came from Italy. Yeah. He wasn't just chilling there next to command.
Yeah.
He came from Italy. It was never the plan for him to be in charge until Alberto got murdered.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, all these people from Italy, who presumably, you know, like, there's a connection there. They're obviously tied to the Falcones. It's obviously part of a grand organization. Apparently, they just, you know, forgot about this. And just let her kill all these people and then didn't do anything about it.
Walked away.
We never see any consequences for this.
Yes, that's one thing that's very bothering. She killed a made man and made no...
Not just one made man. Like, an entire house of them.
But I think also...
Actually, I think Vidi was the only made man. But go on.
Really? I thought the boss was also a made man.
I'm not sure. I don't think so, actually. Maybe.
I thought it was implied because he's the leader. Right.
Yeah, he should be.
But right after that, though, like, you guys do make a good point. Like, hey, she just outed herself as doing that. Why should they follow her? But... And it kind of plays to the theme of the show. Everybody's ready to turn and corruption's everywhere. She had that big bag of money saying, all right, guys, you work for me. Look at this. Y'all were being paid peanuts to die for people that really didn't care about you. But me, with money and my resources, I have them now. I'm going to make sure I'm going to take care of y'all, which
in truth,
makes sense.
Like that was more of like a plot device.
I feel like it was more...
I guess, but I could see why they would follow
because
her.
Because repeatedly, Oz basically said the same thing as to why people were following
That's
him.
That's why I got the other people.
That, which was, I just take care of my friend.
Yeah. Which is more crazier than her getting them, but yeah.
First of all, okay, when you're talking about like a mob situation like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
A big part of it, especially with like an Italian mafia, with family names, made men, there's a... It almost sounds silly, but it's like a pageantry to it.
Yeah,
a showmanship, a tradition.
Yeah,
yes,
right. There is a sense of okay, I am following this guy because he is the son or the brother or leader. You know, the next male descendant of the previous boss. There are made men. There are rules to this, and frankly, I mean, part of the reason people join up. It's because they get paid well. Because they get paid better than they would in other... People don't join and deal cocaine to, you know... If they're just going to be put upon, like, you know, scrubs, you know, putting up with the bosses and, you know, putting up with bullshit, they could just go work at Walmart or something.
They don't care. Like, those henchmen in there don't care about the name. They care about their paycheck. And Sophia played to that. And it was a smart play.
I think that's a smart play. Supposedly, yes, but I think in the real world, they do care about the name. That was part of why it's important. But at that point, what stops... Okay, so Sophia puts that big bag of cash on the floor. What stops any of the people there from being like, well, boom, I just shot Sophia. I'm going to take this cash and bag for ourselves. Why are we taking it?
Well, it's because they're also fed up. It was implied.
No, they're fed up. Why would they care about her?
Yeah, no, but they want more money. She has the gate.
And
to
she's the plug for more money.
From whatever the Falcone business was besides.
But the Falcones, supposedly, the whole Falcone operation would have, like, or at least the extended part of it, would have been after her. There's no, it's a mob.
Yeah.
There's no, okay, the clash is flowing in from drug deals, from abusing people, from doing this stuff.
The cash is just there.
It's not like there's some bank that goes like, no, I'll only hand this bank Sophia.
Bliss was kind of her.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That, the money was a show of, here's what I can do for y'all. Y'all want some more? Let's go.
My point is, if it was only money motivating people, if there was only money keeping people in line, right, then, you know, obviously you can just pay more.
Yeah.
At that point, my point is the tradition and all this stuff is there in part to keep people in line, to keep people following a specific leader, to keep order. If you remove that, again, nothing stops from people being like, okay, well, we're the ones selling the drugs. What do we need Sophia for? She no longer has the connections to the mob back in Italy, so you can't say that anymore, right? That was part of the legitimacy of the other guys. Oh, they can send more guys from Italy to come fuck us up. They're the connections with the family. That's all gone. She has no real family to speak of, right? There's nothing to stop these people from just killing her.
I think, just to clarify my point also, I'm not saying the only reason why they're following her is because of money. I just think that was definitely sealed the deal. But she also spoke to the fact that, hey, the people that were in charge that I got rid of, they were doing y'all wrong. And that's just, it's...
Bro, those are just words. A grown man is not just going to believe a random new person that just says, oh, hey, the previous boss is bad, but don't worry, I'm going to be nice.
True.
That's some little kid shit.
True, but then you throw the bag of money on the table. And that's just
an immediate moment. Again, nothing stops them from just being like, well, okay, I'll just take all your money.
You have a point, but I can understand why they'd be like, all right, cool, let's
go do this. It really feels like the writers got caught up with like this Wall Street leftist rhetoric, like, oh, we're just going to take care of our employees, and just didn't actually know how mobs or criminal organizations work.
Yeah, I can see that point.
I see your point. Being nice to
the criminals is a good indicator to the criminals that you're easy to take advantage of, and they can just take what you're doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people maintain power by being crazy ruthless, being strongman, being super violent, having the implied threat of, oh, if you fuck with me, you're going to get blasted to shit.
But one... She just fucking did that. Right before she did the money, she blew up a dude in front of her.
But not through force. She through cleverness, right? They were just sitting there. They could have just overpowered her.
Yes.
She's not scary individually in that sense.
I don't know. I think she's still intimidating by killing a man. Happened the backstory.
Also, very machismo kind of culture, like just immediately accepting a woman. I don't know, man.
No, yeah, I think that her becoming the leader was kind of a little far-fetched, but I think that was just kind
of... But at that point of the show, knowing what she'd gone through and what she'd gone through to get to that point, I can see why they're saying, hey, maybe
you were rooting for that to happen from a logical perspective. It was iffy.
Yeah.
But anyways, continuing on. So after this, next time we see the Penguin, he has a full-on operation of Bliss.
Yeah, it's going.
He has this clever workaround where he's using old abandoned train tracks, subway tracks, to basically transport people without them being found.
Yeah.
It's not made entirely clear how come they couldn't follow them at all, but supposedly they're just getting sneaky.
Underground network.
They're getting sneaky and they're getting away with it. At this point, basically, you know, we have also a lot of character work at this point. Vic has his first kill. He kills childhood.
No, his first kill was running the car into saving Oz.
I don't know if anyone technically died from that.
But this is like his first, like, that's fair.
But this is a little bit different. Yeah. Like, this is clear cut, like shooting somebody. Kill.
His first cold blooded murder.
Yeah, this is an actual full blooded murder. Like crashing into somebody again. Yeah, there's a good chance he died, but like there's no confirmation. It's the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. This was him turning around and shooting somebody.
It was some classic gangster movie. Like, hey, let's go around this corner real quick. We're done. This conversation's over. Let's go around real quick, and then. Yeah. Start blasting. So it was great.
We see Oz's influence grow. He brings the power back to Crown Point.
Great power move to say, hey, now they're saying the friggin' Penguin got me my stuff back. So
he's going along with that corrupt politician, right?
Okay, so he's going along. He basically, I think they showed him in the Batman movie.
Yeah.
But the corrupt politician comes in, and Oz basically intimidates him physically. I don't know if I love that. He just kind of physically threatens him instead of like doing some cleverness or having some blackmail.
At this point, Oz is getting the juice, so to speak. So like he can just walk up and just squeeze a politician real quick. And,
at that point, like I feel like the latter half, the front half of the series, we see a lot of Oz is cutting this, right?
Yeah.
And we see a repetition of he'll say whatever's needed in the moment to get what he needs or get him out. But it seems like in the back half of the series, a lot of that cuttingness is not as prevalent, and he's not needing to say what he needs to say.
Yeah, because he's already got the juice at this point. He just have to use those skills.
I don't know if I love that, though, because, I mean, what? First of all, the only juice is that, yeah, he's selling the drug, but he doesn't have any real muscle. He doesn't have any official backing. Anybody could just pop him at this. But he's in hiding, really. Mm-hmm. He's not like in some mansion or something. He's in hiding out in Crown Point.
Yeah.
But I kind of see where Jim's coming from. There's a lot of moments, and we'll discuss some of them coming up. There's a lot of moments in the back half of the season where instead of being overly clever, Oz just like physically overpowers the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like instead of like having some blackmail on the councilman or having some like offering him some deal that makes sense, he just shows up with pliers and it's like, hey, I'll fuck you up if you don't.
Yes.
If you don't do what I say.
It felt very old, like Joe Pesci just roughing some person
sure,
up.
But like Joe Pesci, has that physicality and that presence where it's like, okay, I'm terrified of Joe Pesci. It's always felt like, it was part of like the backstory of him, that, you know, he hobbles around, he's fat, he's a scarred up face, his foot's all fucked up. He's like, okay, this was not a physically intimidating guy.
But he was always underestimated. That's what made him dangerous.
Underestimated intellectually. People didn't take him seriously. But at no point do we get some indication that, oh, no, this is actually a serious badass who can physically scare people.
Just, okay, yeah, okay, right? I see that.
The whole point of him in the first few episodes was, oh, he's just clever. He always knows what to say. He always has a backup plan.
Yeah, it's his mind.
He knows a way. Tuck his way out. In the back half, is like, oh, I'm going to put some pliers in your nose and you're going to be terrified of me, so you're going to do what I say. Yes. Or we have to see some... He gets into an actual fist fight with Salvatore Moroni.
Yes.
And holds his own. Which, again, is silly. This is a grown man who broke out of prison after being stabbed by beating the shit out of a prison guard and escaping. And then somehow a crippled fat dude who's never really fought anybody in his life, you know, hold his own in a fist fight with him.
Well, that's why Sal dies with a heart attack, right?
Yeah, he's so shocked
that
the writers wrote this so poorly that he just has a heart attack.
Yeah. A real, very convenient heart attack, but no, it definitely does get the ball rolling into the next part of Oz's plan because, you know.
Because that's basically what happens.
Yeah.
So he basically has this moment where he has this come up. He puts the lights back on Crown Point. People are loyal to him because he's paying them well and giving them jobs, where nobody was really paying attention to him before. And then basically it all falls apart because they capture his mom. The hooker who Oz was kind of close with.
Eve,
that's her name. Eve. She gives him up.
Yeah.
She basically gets pissed off enough, gets upset enough. She gives him up. She's supposed to be close with him and all that, but like after Roz put her in too much danger.
She's feeling the pressure, so she just gave him up. So yeah, I think with that, the reason why that whole sequence with his mom, just the whole reveals in that whole
Eve.
No, I'm talking about his mom when the part where they captured his mom and all that.
Okay, yeah,
and like just with all that, like because in the episode before that, we get the shocking reveal that like he basically killed his brothers.
Actually, that's the episode after.
After
they captured his mom.
Okay.
They turned the lights back on. So if you remember, the mom is dancing with Big.
Yeah, they have their whole dance.
The mom is dancing with Big because the lights are back on.
Yeah.
And like, hey, look, Oz did this.
My boy did this. Yeah.
And then right after that, at that point, Sophia, because she's been told by Eve,
gives him up
Oz is.
Yeah.
She finds him, and so she captures him.
Yeah.
Right at that point, that's when we get that flashback,
which is great casting to get the kid who played.
Yeah, it's the
young.
Second.
Yeah.
It's the second big flashback.
Yeah,
it's not as in depth. It's only like a teaser or what do you call it? Like an intro flashback.
The opener. Little opener
flashback. It's not a full episode. It's like a 5-minute thing.
Yeah,
but they basically show that his brother's dying was in some tragic accident. Oz fucking killed him.
Yeah, he was resentful.
Oz murdered his brothers.
His brothers out of rage
because
they were a little bit of mean to him. A little bit. I mean, they were somewhat rude to him.
They were rude.
We don't know the full history, right? We see a little bit of history.
No, I mean, it makes sense, bro. I mean, if you know little kids, yeah, he definitely would have got bullied by his brothers for being some crippled dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guarantee you that would have happened.
Yeah, man, kids are assholes. Yeah.
I guarantee you his own brothers would have ripped on him for it.
Yeah.
But most kids, you know, grow up and deal with that and just fight with their brothers and end up loving them and all blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
No, this guy was like, oh, okay, I'm going to kill my brothers.
Left them in there and flooded.
Left them to die. Didn't tell his mom anything. Never really seemed to show remorse.
Yeah.
Never came clean about it.
Never came clean. Even while watching his mother get tortured.
She got her finger fucking
That happens a little bit later
off.
On.
Like,
a little bit later on.
That's not even, enough.
Honestly, it's almost like he mentally himself inside held on to that story and believed it. He did not do it.
But even if it
I'm not
hurt
even
his
entirely
man,
that's sure. Wild. Like, it's one of those things where, like, the narcissism doesn't allow him to admit he's wrong.
Yes.
And it's a good psychological question. Like, mm-hmm. in his own mind, is he capable of distinguishing that?
I think he can distinguish right from
wrong. I don't know about that.
He just chooses not to, though. It's a choice at the end of the day. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm just
I
think
what Jim was saying more is, like, like, he's so lied so much about this that it's to the point
he doesn't even believe, or
right,
he doesn't
he,
to
like,
believe.
Believes his own lies.
Kind of the Joker, yes. almost
he's
when he tells
into his own
a
lies.
Bunch of different yes. stories. Okay,
now, the Joker seems like he's doing it on purpose. This seems like a psychopathy, no. like our narcissism.
A coping mechanism.
I think you're right, because at the end this is in the final episode, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But he asked Victor, he's like, about his mother forgiving him. Do you think his mother ever forgave him for this? And
okay.
And then that's him recognizing, oh yeah, he kind of did it.
Right. Okay.
No, definitely. Okay, so we have the flashback, and we see he's always talked about the sadness of his brothers dying.
Yeah,
that's
a big deal.
How tragic
he
was for his mom.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just seems like it's part of the story. Oh, there's this young kid, his brothers died, his mom abused him, treated him harshly, demanded the world from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crippled dude who obviously got bullied and stuff, looked up to strong men.
Just beaten down all his life.
That was the story up to that point that we had basically been told about his character. It was a relatable character. A character you rooted for, frankly.
Yeah, the underdog, right?
Right. An underdog. You kind of wanted him to win.
Mm-hmm. And he portrayed himself as the underdog.
He wasn't a good person, but like,
you rooted
for him. Likeable aspect. He was treated big nicely.
Mm-hmm.
You were rooting for him. Yes. And that's the first big crack where I say, oh, fuck. No, this guy,
he's not a good person.
He is. I mean, that's some evil shit.
Yeah.
That's some evil shit. So anyways, we keep going. Sophia starts to find out about what happened because she captures the mom. The mom is great, too. She also is one of those people that deserves some kind of reward.
Oh, like, her acting was
she did so good.
Her supporting actress award. She was incredible. But the episode, she was talking shit to Sophia, she was talking shit to Shades. I forgot his name of the show.
I call him Shades. Yeah,
I call him Shades. She's talking shit to all of them. She has such spunk.
Spunk,
like,
is a good
better
word.
At the same time, you know, they have his mom and they're ambushing him. And Sal Maroney ambushes Oz, going back to try to save his mom, captures him and forces him to go.
Yeah.
Take him to the underground base, right? So they find this underground base. Now, keep in mind, in there, it's not a bunch of gangsters, right? It's a bunch of people from this part of town that's been destroyed by the floods from the Batman movie. Desperate people. And they're running drugs for him. Obviously, they're criminals now. But it's like, okay, this is just giving us hope. This is something to do. But they're not gangsters. They don't have a bunch of guns. They don't have a bunch of weapons. They're not ready for war. So when Sal comes in with his goons, it's pretty much game over immediately. Or so we think. Apparently, all these people are willing to fight and possibly die for Oz.
Yes.
It's the only takeaway. Like, they're just so loyal to him, they're willing to take on actual mobsters.
Like, I guess since we're here, we're going
to
fight these mobsters now.
to be loyal to him. Again, it never really showed that they
wasn't
were.
Wasn't that the reversal with Vic lining up with Link and turning it against Sal? Or is that another one?
That was later on.
The other one. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
So this is Oz getting another sticky situation.
Oz gets out of the sticky situation. He basically hulks out of it. There's no other word for it.
He does get out of it.
He fights Salvatore. We already discussed a little bit. He fist fights Salvatore Maroney. It's not some clever thing. It's not like he pulls some knife out when he's, you know, on the floor, like, pathetic, like, please, Sal, get, like, it just seems more in character, right? Some clever, like, backstabbing, some clever trickery. Yes. There's nothing. It's just literally like all Kratos the guys start fighting, and then he starts fighting, and then they just win. They just win that fight. There's no other way. I mean, yeah, partly because Sal had a heart attack, but the rest of his non-mobsters win against the mobsters.
Yes.
It's kind of...
Okay.
It's one of those things...
Eye-rolling hot armor.
It's a little bit, yeah. It's a little bit like... It felt like the first couple episodes were really based on... Like, he's getting out of these things, getting out of these problems through his cleverness, through his ability to always know the right thing to say. Even when people know he's saying lies to people, somehow he still manages to manipulate people who know they're being manipulated. It's actually impressive.
It's almost like he has him under a spell, like Vic. He's like has him under his spell this whole time.
The other ones,
it's
like,
crazy.
So all these people say, "Hey, I know you're a traitor, piece of shit,
but I like you." Yeah,
but somehow I'm going to still.
I'm gonna trust you. Yeah,
it's incredible.
It's a great gift. So
it's a great gift, and then later on, is I'm just gonna beat this guy up.
Strong arm people.
Yeah, are we on the last? Are we on the last episode now? Or
we're getting close to it.
Okay,
and then there's a big car bombing. That's where it ends.
Yeah.
There's a big Sophia has this heartrending moment with her niece.
That was
where
great.
The niece is starting to seem like she might come clean to the cops and talk about some iffy stuff she saw. And then Sophia comes. You kind of think she's going to kill the niece.
I legit thought, okay, now she does.
You kind of think she's going to be some cold blood. She's going to kill the niece.
Because she could have killed the girl earlier, but no, maybe she's not.
She kind of breaks down, starts crying. Yeah. Get set emotional about it. You think maybe she's turning a leaf. You're kind of rooting for her as a person. She always felt like a good person. She didn't really feel like she deserved this life.
She's been done wrong and she's getting revenge. Like, you're rooting for her. Yeah.
You're kind of rooting for her. And then she decides actually what she's going to do is blow up a whole city block. That's her actual plan.
Just the intersection.
And then somehow, again, Oz escapes just by like...
Kills,
running away.
It kills everybody but us.
He just runs away. I can't stress enough. He just runs. The guy with the fucked up leg runs
away
into the same tunnel he killed his brothers in.
Yes.
Crazy. Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I think that was just for cinema, honestly.
Yeah, that was just for cinema.
Yeah, hiding in where
he is. It actually made some sense because that's how he knew that this was hidden in underground.
Yeah.
And this was there. So it actually did tie in a little
bit. He knew where he could hide in case some stuff went sideways.
It actually made some sense. But yeah, obviously it was also partly for the effect.
Yeah.
So at this point, we see the whole city block getting destroyed.
Everyone's dead.
We're getting to the final episode.
After the bombing, though, they went and picked
they
Oz
did,
up.
They
did
get Oz.
Yeah, he did,
He came out underground and they immediately found him.
You ain't getting away that easy.
Like a bunch of at least they had the decency.
He always slinks away, but not that time.
So anyway, at this point... the mom has been worked on by the Shades' little psychology machine.
Yeah, like
little red.
Yeah, EMDR therapy.
Ross, Julian, something.
Yeah. I was going to call him Shades.
We call Shades.
It's from Luke Cage.
Shades.
From the show he was in.
Okay.
That was his name in that show.
Shades.
But so there's a big confrontation. They go back. We've already seen this theater where Oz, as a kid, danced with his mom and promised him the world.
Mm-hmm.
But when he sees it, it's like a sentimental thing. Like we're shown the memory. It makes it seem like the mom is asking him because she's sad about her son's dying.
Yes.
And then she's just putting all this pressure on him. And he kind of like tries to live up to it, but like kind of seems like the dark turn where she breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the final episode, we get the real flashback where it's like, no. The mom figured out immediately.
Which was... really, really great reveal. She knew. She's always
immediately
known.
That Oz killed her kids and that she's living with a total monster.
It recontextualized the whole... For me, it recontextualized the whole show and her interactions with him that we've seen because, like, she's propping up and, like, giving support to this person she's hated for years.
And well, that's not what she hated, but she's been afraid of.
I think she hates him for taking her... It's both. I think she hates him for taking... Because she loves all her boys, but she hates this one for taking the other two boys. So it's like, for years, so like, just living with that and just what it does to your brain. Like, she's crazy. And like, the fact that like, she's always trying to prop him up to be this gangster. Like, she like supports him, but then knowing what he did, it's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, not just that. I mean, there's a specific scene in there where she's talking. She actually makes a deal with the gangster Oz idolizes. Can't remember the name right now.
Yeah, it's
right. Some minor gangster from his home block. she makes a deal basically to have Oz killed.
Ah, yes, yeah, that's right. He's trying to get Oz killed.
Yeah. She's like, hey, I'm living with the devil. This kid's a monster. She killed my boys. She basically makes a deal to get him killed. And then he goes there and they have that dance. And it's very recontextualized. Before, it seemed like, oh, it's the mom making her the boy promise everything and the boy just goes along with it.
Yeah.
Now it's more like, okay, the boy is the one doing the act of promising. The mom's just like, you can tell at the moment where she's, I can't bring myself to kill my kid. Whatever else, the love he feels for me is real.
Yes.
And like, even though she's crazy, she still loves her son. And like, no matter what he's done to her and put her through. Yeah, because they're both insane. So.
But yeah, so at this point we have the actual confrontation. She's, you know, been exposed to the truth. So now Sophia and Shades know the truth. And they go to the same theater where they had that dance. It's a broken down place now. Oz is surrounded, tied up. And basically, Sophia tries to force him to confess to his mom what he did. They all know.
Yeah.
She knows. Everybody knows.
Everyone knows.
She gets to the point where she threatens, like, I want to cut your mom's finger off if you don't confess this. Like, I need to see you suffer. And this is how I'm going to make you suffer. You killed my brother. You destroyed my life.
Take accountability for what you've done.
Yeah, Oz. Tell your mom what you did.
And it's the peak point is where the mom yells at him, like, just say it. Just, I already know.
And he's like, exactly. And like, oh, what? like, oh, man. This is a great scene.
It's a devastating blow for him.
Amazing
and
scene.
And it goes on. She tells him that she's always hated him, that she regrets not having him killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then she stabs him with a glass bottle.
Yes.
Right? Like, actively stabs him while he's tied up. Big fat Oz.
I almost took that line of I regret having you, not having you killed, almost like a two thing. Like, I regret not killing you then, I regret not killing you, like, before you came in this role. Whatever. I kind of felt as though, like, she even regrets even having him. That's,
maybe. It was almost, it's not clear.
It felt, just the way she said it, felt like a two-sided, like, boy, like,
I could see that.
You've caused me all
but
this.
But it was still meant to be very devastating.
Yeah.
And it was.
So devastating, yeah.
And yeah, she, like, stabs him with a broken glass bottle. That's a,
yeah.
And then she has some kind of seizure.
Or a stroke. It's a stroke. Yeah.
She sees some stuff. She has a stroke. She falls down. Mm-hmm. And then this is, again, we've talked about this. There's no clever backup plan or anything. There's no other way to explain this other than the freaking Penguin, crippled ass dude, hulks out, mm-hmm. has an action movie scene where he's surrounded by the most powerful mob in the city,
mm-hmm.
the head of the most powerful mob and her goons with her, and he gets away.
It's his, like,
he just runs away.
It's his supervillain superhero moment where they get away from, like literally danger. It's
Hulks out after being stabbed. Breaks out of this chair that he's been tied up and just physically just hulks out of the chair. Somehow manages to get somebody killed.
Yeah, he kills one of the, like, kills the detective, you know, on the fucking, way out. Yeah.
Liam Neeson style. And then manages to run away. It's baffling scene. Probably the worst scene in the show. I'm not trying to shit on the show too much. I still loved it overall.
Yeah.
No, but the Penguin hulking out and for escaping was not the cunning we were wanting to see.
It felt kind of absurd.
And he
it felt like they forgot who the main character was supposed to be.
And basically after that, after he's able just to escape, Sophia's like, well, damn it, and just, I gotta go now because he's on the loose. And she puts a bounty out on him, but she kind of just says, damn, he got away, and just kind of...
No, she does try to get a deal going to get him killed.
Yeah, she puts the bounty out, but that's kind of it. She's like, well, I guess I gotta...
But then she's like done with being a mobster.
Which was crazy. I was like, alright.
She puts the bounty out. Sal captures him, gets double-crossed by Link. That's where that comes in.
No, it's not Sal, it's Link's boss.
Zhao.
Link's boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vic manages to convince the other seconds in command, all of them somehow, all the other seconds in command, to betray their top bosses.
Yes.
And somehow the rest of the organization is fine with
it
that.
It works.
Honestly, that was kind of a little suspended disbelief.
That little speech you gave him. But a little speech you gave him kind of occurs.
They didn't develop all the other organizations enough for it to be too... But it felt like a little bit like the same thing. Okay, like, if the second in command can just take out the main guy, just kill him.
What's stopping me from doing this?
What's stopping it? Like,
yeah.
It had to be like, oh, the second in command had, like, or the first in command was weak and the second in command had the real respect, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, don't worry, I'll promise you more money. It's like, okay, but I'll have even more money if I take you out, and then I can also just pay the rest of the guys. You know, that's, it just becomes, you know, dog eat dog, everybody just kills each other. That's why there's some level of tradition and rules and stuff, so that this doesn't happen, right?
Yes.
That's part of why it exists. That's why big organizations don't just randomly have people changing commands every few weeks or whatever.
Right.
But as a result, if we suspend our disbelief, the second command took over and Sophia gets captured and then...
She gets captured. Yeah, and yeah, as part of Oz's deal to try to get into not just the criminal world, but into high Gotham society, have influence within the political world, corrupt influence within the political world, he basically makes a deal with the same dude. He got to, like, turn on the power back on and be like, hey, I'm going to give you the person who made this big explosion, who put all these drugs on the street, the biggest crime families in the city, in Gotham, and I want to, like, both get him turned into you and get him blamed for everything. And that's what he does. It makes it seem like he's going to kill Sophia, takes her out to a shady place.
I was hoping he wouldn't. I was like, don't do this. She's such a great character.
And you know what? Even when he took it out there, the scene was such high tension.
Yeah.
Even the lighting, I felt like, if you can go back and watch that scene, the lighting of behind Sophia almost felt like watching like the bullet was about to come out.
Yeah, like, okay. Yes. It's even shot, set up shot-wise for, okay, yes, she'll fall down right here. Yeah.
It seems like it's the end of
her life. She'll fall right here, okay.
And then, nope, it's, for her personally, it's even worse. She's not...
worse
she's
than
not
death.
Gonna die. She's going back
to Arkham. Hell. Yes. Back to
and
hell.
And this time, you know, there's no, oh, hell, it's innocent and framed. This time, you know, she blew up a whole block.
You're the hangman going back to jail. Yeah.
You did this. There's no discussion.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a great, like, chess move. Like, yeah, I got you. Bye. It's like, oh, no.
So, anyways, after that, one of the biggest shocks of the show.
Oh, my God. This
basically
part.
Everything is over.
Yeah, we're celebrating.
Penguin has won. He's celebrating. And Vic shows up. Good, nice, little Vic, friendly guy.
High five and dab it up.
And he's the main guy who really saved Oz. Oz was totally fucked.
An MVP of the show. Yeah, yeah.
More than once.
Yeah.
For Oz.
Hell yeah,
Vic. And then he finally tells him, hey, Oz, you're family to me.
It's a
you're basically a father figure.
Touching, genuinely touching scene. Really, it was. Like him, and really, and Oz was like...
Oz was touched.
Yeah, you could see him, it was... Not we're gonna get to it, but he was touched, but then he's like disgusted and was like, God damn it. It was like a moment like a
I'm honestly curious like that. Because I've seen various interpretations. At this point he just chokes Vic out.
Oh yeah.
He just chokes Vic to death right now.
Because family makes you weak. As he says.
There's different interpretations I've heard for there's another ones that hey, you just watch all the other seconds in command, kill the top guy. So obviously
the rule of two, basically.
There's another one where it's like, oh hey, you're gonna enter high society, and like Vic's the only person really knows where all of Oz's skeletons are buried, right?
Yes.
Everybody else thought the mom was dead. Everybody else, like, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Vic is the only one who really knows all of Oz's weaknesses. I'm not sure if we're meant to interpret that Oz had already made up his mind to kill Vic. And that he just, you know, this was just happened to be the moment where he just decided to do it. Or if we're meant to interpret that Vic pointing out and calling him family kind of flipped something in Oz and he said, okay.
I feel like, I like to think it's the latter, right? I think it's like after they have this hard heart moment where they're dealing with the mother. And even, you know, with the mother is like, if we look at the, I think I mentioned that episode 6, the mother is like, hey, if anything ever happens to me. If I ever end up being a vegetable,
she's already has some mental health issues.
And now she's in a vegetable, and Oz doesn't kill her,
which is really mean. And she's not cool with that either.
After Oz and Victor bond over the mother a little more, and they have that moment. I think as a result of that bonding, Oz realizes, "Oh man, I can't deal with this.
This is like my brother's again. She's gonna like him more." I could see like the wheels turning. He said, "Like, oh no."
I could see that. I think it left it a little bit opportune for.
Of course, yeah.
Honestly,
I don't
know if I loved it. I feel like, yeah, there was always a moment where we even talked about it in the review of the first one.
Right.
I don't know. I just, maybe it would have been a big cliche, but it always felt like, oh, okay, there's going to be a situation where he's going to have to choose. Yes. Between himself and Vic, and he just couldn't clearly choose himself.
Right?
I think like and Victor.
Then, and Vic that didn't really happen. He could have just kept Vic. Obviously, a very useful loyal character.
Vic could
usually
be useful.
Those are very useful for crime organizations. Mm-hmm. Smart, loyal, hardworking people.
But Juan also very expendable.
Yeah, I feel like
they're Victor, very expendable.
Too. Yes and no, bro. I mean, you need actual criminals to run with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, very expendable. That's a thing.
In real life, honestly, there's one thing I love about a show like The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. Okay, they showed the little regular goons and mobsters, but they were real characters.
Yes,
they showed why they were valuable. They showed their importance.
Their contributions.
You got to know who they were. Mm-hmm. You got to realize, okay, yeah, Tony's the big boss, mm-hmm. but like without these guys, he wouldn't
function.
He wouldn't function, mm-hmm. right? So no, you can't just be like, oh, it's okay, I'll just replace him with some other goon.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
At some point, the other goons notice you're killing your number two guy, and like, why would I want to be your number two
guy? It's not a good business model, I'm not saying that, but yeah, I can see. But in this case, I think also the show wanted to, you know, very, very clearly state here that this Penguin is not a good dude. He's not an anti-hero. He's not someone to be looked up to.
Yes.
When it comes down to it, he is brutal. He's ruthless, yes. and he'll
not
do what he needs to do.
For at all.
Yeah.
I feel like
and I love that. A lot of shows don't do that. Shows will shy away from that because they want you to like the character. No. They're establishing and going to the Batman 2 that this Penguin is not cool.
There is a brutality. I think Victor, more than anything, provided a vehicle for the season.
Oh, yeah.
Right, for the series. Yeah. He's what allowed you to first watch and enter into the world of the Penguin.
He's like, us, yeah.
Yeah, he's the audience. Us. We're the audience, we're the viewer. Yeah. And from the beginning, he was spared. But you always have this back feeling in your mind, like, all right, he was spared in that moment. But how long is he really living alive?
It's kind of like in Training Day. You always think that maybe Denzel's going to just shoot Ethan Hawke or just get rid of him mm-hmm. at some point. And Denzel was actually ready to and tried to at the end, as we saw. But and Ethan Hawke was lucky enough to get away.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Victor was not.
Yeah, this felt like Training Day. So
another,
much like Training Day.
Another criticism of that is another moment where Oz, you know, gets his way by just physically overpowering someone.
Yes.
Right, Vic's a strapping young man, and Oz, I mean, it's not that easy to choke him to health.
It makes sense, though, for Oz. He's heavier than Victor.
I don't know, man. He's never seen like a guy who does serious physical activity. He's fat. He's not like bulky. He's just fat.
It also kind of like...
He waddles, bro.
Vic was also taken off guard and by surprise, too, I think. It's a lot of stuff. It really is not
that easy to just choke somebody to death.
I feel like, for realistic, it was not realistic. But was Thematic, there a better way that he could have probably killed Vic? Yes, but
stab wound.
I think the choking
imagine the same scene,
and personal.
But all of a sudden, bam, and Vic's like...
Alright, and we're talking about...
But a gun is not...
A knife.
No, I think we're talking about Penguin. Yeah, he probably would have shot him. But I think it was for the drama.
It's
the
personal.
Tension.
I want you to feel this.
He's even talking about, Vic, you're a good guy, you know.
As he's being shown, he's like, don't do this. It's like, I think they did it for that effect. A gunshot, you wouldn't get that.
A gun might be too much.
I think it's the drama.
But you could still have the guy
bleeding
out.
Yeah, of course. There are ways to, yeah.
But I don't know. I guess the idea of this guy physically overpowering some way younger, mm-hmm. physically fit-looking dude. I don't know, man. It just felt... A lot of the late half of the season relied on the Penguin hulking out and just like being a buff, macho, super strong dude. And I thought, I mean, any kind of characterization of the Penguin has always emphasized that his strength is his manipulation, his money, his criminal nature, right? There's never been a variation of the Penguin that's like, oh, here's this strong man who can just, you know, beat people up if he needs to.
But I don't think because we at the end of this episode, we get his full Penguin. He's in the suit, top hat, all things. I think now we're going to see him using that. I think on his way up, he has
that's
to
what,
use
that's what I'm saying. That's what it should have been. I honestly just don't buy that this guy was a real physical threat to people.
Yeah.
Nothing that we've been presented to up to this point. The guy literally couldn't work out.
The guy literally couldn't work out. No, you're correct. But just because you're not physically intimidating doesn't mean when it calls for it, you can get busy.
That's literally what that means. I mean, go out. We can ask Aaron if you want. You don't just suddenly hulk up when it's time to. If you've never done it before.
Okay, I won't excuse a lapse in writing there, but I think the other stuff, like him getting his hands dirty, I can buy
it. No, that's fine.
I buy it. But
again, the penguin is a shoot you in the back, stab you in the back, manipulate you into getting killed some way. He's not, I'm just going to choke you out through sheer force.
This penguin did that. He stabbed people, but it also shows he will do some other stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, first half of the show, and the first half of the show had none of that.
Yeah.
Basically. The first half of the show, every time he got away with something is because...
Of his cunningness.
His cunningness, or his manipulation, or his loyalty from certain people, his ability to work, his genius.
Yeah.
Did not rely on him just like, hey, I'm just going to choke somebody to death with my hands.
The guy he kills is a drugged out guy from the opposing family, right?
Like, yeah. He shoots him.
No, he knifes him.
Yeah, to get him to shut up, he just stabs him. But he's already like... Out of commission.
He doesn't shoot him. No, he plants a knife on Castillo. So
that guy. He stabs somebody who's already tied.
He was already out of commission. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
So like, there's no overpowering.
Yeah.
But overall, incredible.
Overall,
show.
Overall, I still think it was an incredible show. Yes, one of the better shows of the year.
Like Shogun and this show have been the year's best. Also, House of the Dragon.
Fallout
was another one.
Incredible.
Fallout's amazing.
Honestly, the more I come back from it. I liked House of the Dragon, but it was a letdown.
Yeah. So here's one thing I gotta ask about the show. All right, if we take away the Batman setting, if it's not in Gotham, does the show still work?
Of course.
I think it honestly probably would have worked better. There was a lot of kind of comic booky elements. Kind of we talked about the henchmen being one of them, just like, oh, there's conveniently henchmen when there needs to be, and conveniently not henchmen when there needs to be.
Yeah.
They're conveniently super loyal when you output for them a little bit more money, but also not super loyal when the story needs them not to be.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. It just felt very like, oh, you know, the Joker always has infinite henchmen, and the Penguin and all these guys just happen to have infinite henchmen no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just as convenient. Also the part with the drug, the whole bliss thing.
Yes.
It felt like the PG version. Like, they didn't want to say heroin because it, like, yeah, it was a rated M show, but it's like, oh, you know, we don't want to just say heroin.
Yeah, because it's
Gotham,
yeah.
It's like, it's a Batman show. It just doesn't quite fit the vibe. But it's like, I don't know. The whole thing where it went from like one little mushroom bucket, it looked like they were done to, oh, okay, next time we just have a full flex operation where everybody's trying to buy from us. Like, it just... Certain hops and certain things that felt comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it could have lived up to the absolute greats in the genre. I'm talking about shows like... crime shows like, obviously, Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Movies like Goodfellas and Casino. Other crime dramas that aren't necessarily mob-based, but are still really good, like maybe Breaking Bad or The Wire or The Shield.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it didn't quite get to that point.
All right. No.
It definitely felt like this was a well-written crime show.
Yes.
That they set out to create a well-written, well-developed crime show,
mm-hmm.
and then they had the opportunity to go and sprinkle in the Batman-ness at the very end, at the very essence and base was, let's make a great crime show.
Yes.
And at the very end, let's put Batman motifs on it.
Right.
Because this is, and that's how I think a lot of that's the approach that they should take, because this was great. It can exist on its own as a crime show.
It reminded me of Andor.
Oh, yeah.
In that similar sense.
Oh, yeah.
Where Andor is a Star Wars show, and it does take the trapping seriously in the story and the context. But it also feels like a show that, you know,
If it wasn't Star Wars,
it would still be an amazing show.
Yeah. It felt like the Nolan Batman movies. Mm-hmm. Like, these are crime movies, but cool, we get Batman and Joker in these. That's an added plus. But at their core, these are crime movies, and with the motif. So
even that, those felt like you saw some heavy Batman. Like, these really feels like if you just change the names or the proper nouns around. It would just be its own mob show.
Falconis of the Sopranos. It's like,
Could you see a Batman vs. Penguin movie, or maybe even Batman cameoing?
I'm looking forward to the Batman 2 now.
He's at least
going to
be a prominent part of Batman 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if they have a Penguin season 2. It'd be very successful.
Yeah, it definitely hypes you up for both the Batman 2 and whatever they do with the Penguin season 2.
It does seem like Penguin's set up to what we know him to be, like the sophisticated...
It does seem like kind of his almost origin story to where you know him from, like you said.
Yes.
Right, like the low-level mobster rising to the guy with the suits mm-hmm. and the fancy connections.
Yeah.
Large amounts of money. Definitely feels like we got to that point.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, but okay. So, yeah, I think that's it for our review.
Watch the show on HBO Max, guys. It's great.
Watch it out. So you want to kick off our plug of the week, Cozy?
Oh, my gosh. You want me to kick it off first?
I can kick it off.
Yeah, if you can kick it off first.
That's a plug of the week.
Let me get rusty.
So for my plug of the week, I'm going to plug the movie Wicked. I know Hollywood would be what you were expecting.
Nice.
What you would expect from us.
This movie was great, by the way.
It's a fun movie. It's well made. The set design, the CGI, the costumes, all this stuff. Really what sold the movie to me, though. I mean, a lot of the movie is... It's not really something I would necessarily watch usually, right? It's very story about two female friends in school, basically. It's a big part of it. But Ariana Grande is absolutely incredible in this movie. She's hilarious. She plays the ditz incredibly. A lot of big parts of the movie, you legit feel like somebody just told Ariana, hey, just show up and we'll hand you your lines and just be yourself, right? Just do your own thing. She seems so natural at the role.
Excellent.
She's getting some love for potential supporting actress. I had a great time. She's hilarious. Plays a dumb, ditzy, friendly witch or whatever very, very well. I had a fun time. I had a more fun time than I thought.
Wicked. All right.
Yeah, Wicked. Yes. Wicked Part 1.
Part 1, the movie reproduction of the Broadway show.
That's basically it's a almost like a fan fiction or else. Not even a fan fiction version of Wizard of Oz that tells a story about Good Witch and the Wicked Witch of the East. So,
yeah, what about y'all?
Go ahead, Cozy.
I'm actually going to plug, kind of take a page out of Juan's book, which he's done a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to do a game plug. So, Mario Party Jamboree.
Fun.
That new?
Yeah, it's
so fun.
So, all you people out there, all you old people out there, there's Mario Party is a series that I love playing on N64. I don't own one, but my cousin Chris has an N64, and many hours of playing Mario Party on there. So, this new version of Mario Party, comes out this year. It's available on, if you have a Switch, you can also get that on there. And what I love most about Mario Party was just, unlike Mario Kart, which I'm not really good at, Mario Party just requires you to just it's not like high skill, it's just, but a lot of luck, it's kind of chill and whatnot. And I just love that, it comes with, the gigantic just selection of different games as opposed to all the other games. Yeah, the mini games is what's huge. So I'm definitely spent some time playing this game, and I just want everyone just to go out and get this, because again, we don't really cover games a lot, but this is a game series that I've enjoyed through my whole life. So
Mario Party Jamboree. It was a fun
installment.
Yes. Fun installment in the series.
Yes.
Jim, what about you?
All right, I'll stick to one on theme. I'll recommend a comic book. Since we've been talking about the Penguin, if you are interested in getting into Batman in the DC universe, I recommend Batman: The Long Halloween.
Oh man!
Batman: The Long Halloween, the story that takes place over the different holidays throughout the year. And different villains in Batman, and it's very engaging. I'm not gonna say much more, but if you enjoy Batman and enjoy detective stories, you'll have fun with this one. I think the trade back's on Amazon for $20-$25. Batman: The Long Halloween.
This is an iconic run. I won't ruin it because it leads into a very iconic thing for Batman to have happened right after this, because it's a crazy just series of events that happened from Long Halloween to the next BS story after that. So yeah, Jim is correct. Please read Long Halloween, and I wish we could say what happens next, but it's fantastic stuff.
If you watch Penguin, or if you want to get into DC Universe with Batman, this is a great
entryway. Great episode. Jim, thanks for joining us, man. Yeah. This has been great. Thanks for listening. Thank you also for going to have a final cheers. And also, thank you to our listeners out there. Again, thank y'all for listening. And if you can find us, if you want to listen to our podcast, you can find us on Spotify under the name It Was Mooney. We're also, we're doing a social media blast. You can also find us on Instagram. You can also find us on Twitch. You can find us on YouTube. You can also, where else can you find us on? You can find us on, are we on Blue Sky?
We're on Blue Sky. We're getting everywhere now.
We are growing up. We're filling out. We will have getting more content going into 2025. It's a big year coming up. Look out for our end of the year wrap up of our best and worst movies of the year. That's something we're really, really excited about. But, you know, just thanks for listening. You know, coming up on a year of doing this, and this has been a really cool journey we've been on. So I want to thank all y'all for being on there. So once again, I'm Kosi, and I'm joined always by Wani B and our guest Jim. Until next time, guys, peace.
Adios.
Laters.